already the hump show, man alive, this night is going to go fast. I believe it. I'm speaking it into existence because the week is going fast. There's so much happening as we cruise toward April 1st, Saturday, April 1st. And of course, Major League Baseball with its beautiful, positive, infinite possibility day. I love opening day for those reasons, because it's beautiful. It represents spring. There's such a buzz. It's infinitely positive. Every team has an opportunity, at least for one day. Okay, for one week. There's so much to love about opening day. It's the spirit. It's, to me, the launching forward of course, spring and on into the summer, but it's also a companion for months and months. If you love baseball, whether it's on TV, whether it's on the radio, just kind of your constant companion that keeps you company over the course of the next few months. Now, we don't necessarily need the company in April, but it's here, like it or not. And it definitely is busy when we get to the end of the season and football is starting to encroach on baseball's territory, or what was baseball's territory. But over the course of, say, June, July, August, it's just there as a faithful friend. And I really enjoy going to games, too. I can't wait to see how the pitch clock is received in stadiums. All right, so I want to go to an early season game so I can hear the reaction from fans. The hullabaloo has definitely died down since the early stages of spring training, when it was all the rage to complain about it. And I did too, until I saw a little more of the impact. And also, if you forget the clock itself and you just absorb the upgraded pace of play, it actually does cause the game to move a lot more. Now, in the stadium, I would rather it slow down because I want more bang for my buck. On TV, oh yeah, definitely requires less of an investment than what baseball has in the past. My big question, and I don't suppose it has an answer right now, maybe not even in season number 2 or season number 3 of the pitch clock, but the question of whether or not this attracts younger fans, because that's been the knock, is that baseball's fan base is aging. It's the oldest among the four major professional sports in terms of average age of the fans. And while there is nothing wrong with being an older American and enjoying baseball, that's not my point. I'm not telling you that old people or older people shouldn't enjoy baseball, or that you're not as important. What I'm saying is that baseball values younger fans because they get in at the ground level. They then become lifetime fans, theoretically. They spend money on baseball. They invest in the game. And baseball grows its fan base. Almost a grassroots type of campaign to grow the fan base. Get them while they're young is the idea. That's the theory. I am interested, but I don't believe we'll have an answer right away. Is the change, we'll call it, the change with the pitch clock, but not just that, right? The limitation on pickoff throws. There are other rules that are designed specifically to increase pace of play, speed up pace of play, cut out dead time. Will that attract new eyeballs? Will younger fans become curious, give it a try, and decide, you know what? This is better. In fact, these games are shorter than football games, definitely shorter than college football games. I'm looking forward to seeing the changes in person. And for now, I will dislodge my complaint about how I didn't like it initially, because I don't like contrived gimmicks. That's really my complaint about Major League Baseball, is so much of what's happening right now is contrived and is gimmicky. It feels to me like baseball has tried to add some Nickelodeon elements, if you will, because we live in a society with a bunch of kids who have a very teeny tiny attention span. That whole runner on second base in extra innings is, it's an insult to smart Americans. Anyway, sometimes that's what I feel like. It's become more about the gimmicks. So initially my reaction is stop it. Stop it with all your toys and your bells and your whistles. I don't need you to dress up baseball. I can appreciate the game for what it is. But I do think it could, once we kind of get past, oh, there's this giant clock, it could be more entertaining. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, every sport is going toward what they believe is a more entertaining product. In some cases, it is rules changes to facilitate offense and motion and space and scoring. Definitely scoring. In the NBA, they've just dropped defense altogether. There's no point in it anymore. Though the playoffs are coming. And April is coming. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for joining us for what is our hump show. Middle show of the work week. We've been doing this a long time too. Ever since the very first week of After Hours in this time slot. Once we move from weekends to the five night a week format, we have christened it the hump show because it's the middle show of the work week. And once we get through it, we start to pick up speed toward the weekend. As part of the hump show, we let you ask Amy anything. So you have your opportunity. We've got the bright orange box on both Twitter, After Hours CBS, my Twitter as well. And then our Facebook page, it's out there. It's easy to find. Make sure that you send your questions early so producer Jay can sift through them. Of course, there are always outliers who refuse to answer questions or ask questions. All they want to do is be doofuses. We delete those posts, so you might as well not even bother. Also, we set our bots on you so they know they follow you. Just watch out. You interact with our show page the wrong way, and your life may never be the same. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Coming up, we've got a conversation with Matt Snyder. Really excited for him to join us. If you don't know the name, he is baseball's... I said that wrong. He's CBS Sports baseball writer, and he not only went to spring training in Arizona because he's a West Coast guy, but he also went to a WBC game, which is really cool. We'll talk to him about Ohtani. If you have not seen the estimated earning potential for Shohei Ohtani this season, and I don't mean just his salary from the Los Angeles Angels, he is a global phenomenon, and the WBC only increased his earnings power. So we'll talk to Matt about Shohei to be sure. So Matt's going to join us coming up at the top of next hour, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Roger Goodell from Arizona. Arizona is the most popular place in the world right now. Actually, I'll be in Arizona in 2 weeks, so I'm really excited. I'll tell you about that trip at some point. But the Phoenix winter meetings, as they call them, the NFL owner meetings featured a healthy dose of the NFC on Tuesday, plus Roger Goodell. I don't know that I would call it the state of the state because he makes remarks at every single one of these league meetings, and they'll have more in May, I believe. They apparently can't go very long without meeting and having microphones in their faces. Could you potentially meet undercover of night where no one knows? I don't think so. Everything the NFL does is loud and designed to attract attention. However, we follow them around like we have a hook in our noses. Or after my recent fishing trip, we follow them around like we got a hook in our lip, a fishing hook in our lip. So it's fine. It's totally fine. We love the NFL, and there's plenty of drama out there. And it's not just quarterbacks. There are other various pieces of news, headlines that are attracting attention. So we'll let you hear from the commissioner of the NFL coming up, as well as Matt LaFleur making his first public comment on his time with Aaron Rodgers and what he expects from Jordan Love in 2023, because it definitely sounds like it is a foregone conclusion. Jerry Jones making some headlines in Arizona on Tuesday. I know you are shocked by that. And considering what we heard from John Lynch, the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan next up in that space to talk about the QB situation and the Niners. And I'm so excited for Brock Purdy if he does, in fact, take over or remain QB1 would be the proper way to say it. All right. So find us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. It's our hump show, middle show of the work week. Your chance to ask Amy anything. And then in addition, we've got a lot that we're going to get to here in these next couple hours. I want to ask you a question myself. So while you're sending your queries, your inquiries for me, oh, P.S., they don't have to be sports. Some guy apologized for not asking a sports question. Just as a hint, Jay generally doesn't even ask sports questions. So I would say you're more likely to get your question posed on the air by producer Jay if it's a non-sports question. Because what I've learned after 10 plus years here at CBS Sports Radio, you actually don't really care what I have to say about sports. Most of you care about stories where I'm getting back at ex-boyfriends with chocolate laxatives. You love my stories about my dog. You also really love stories about Grammy and other family members. So you're all about things that have nothing to do with sports. And I appreciate that you care about that. I will have some good stories this spring because I am not even 2 weeks away from starting my adjunct professorship. Is that a thing? Professorship. My first ever class as an adjunct professor. The closer it gets, the more butterflies I have in my stomach. So being an adjunct professor is now a reality. It's just a week and a half away. Easter is, of course, on the horizon. My family is making, I wouldn't call it a surprise visit, though I think my brother intended to keep it a surprise that my nieces are also coming for Easter weekend. But my older niece, she didn't lie to me. She, when I asked her what she was doing for her birthday, there was this big pause and she said, coming to see you? And so it's fantastic that I told her, I promised her that I would pretend like I didn't know they were coming. And so now I have to work on my surprise face. Anyway, so I've got family coming and then, yes, a trip to Arizona that's been planned now for several months. It's both family as well as a bucket list item, you guys. There's a bucket list item. I can't wait. I rarely ever take time off in April. But this year, I'm working straight through May and taking my vacation week in April. So vacation is coming up. It's just around a couple milestones. And then May, I'll be here from mid-April all the way through mid-June. So two straight months as we go through NBA and NHL postseasons and the excitement surrounding the NFL draft plus the new OTAs and quarterbacks landing in new places, not to mention all of the other athletes that we've seen change uniforms. So there's a lot to come on the horizon in springtime. It's my favorite couple months of the year in terms of the weather. And without football, it's as much fun as we can possibly have without football playing actual games. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of games, fun and games, you say. You want fun and games? Well, the Warriors are on the scene. And I wondered if they were about to fall victim to a red-hot New Orleans Pelicans team. Because right around halftime, on their own court, the Warriors were trailing by 20 points. They were playing fast and loose with the basketball. So I was listening to Tim Roy on Warriors radio. They were just kind of carelessly throwing the ball away, turning the ball away, lackadaisical passing, no attention to detail. It was not a disciplined first half for the Warriors, but this is why we follow them. The potential is always there.
Looped it outside to Payton. Leaves it for Curry. Payton will screen for Curry. Curry gets Ingram as a result. Gets a screen. Gets Valanciunas. Shoots over him and hits a three. Curry cuts it to 7. 87-80. Ingram dribbles midcourt. Stolen away. Poole gets the steal and a dunk. Payton and Poole combined for the turnover. It's a four-point game and Chase is going crazy. Curry down the lane. Underhand floater. No good. Got his own rebound. No look to Poole. Fires away. Three ball. Left corner. Curry with the offensive rebound. Curry comes left. Now gets McCollum. Checks the clock. 7 to shoot. Takes a jumper over CJ and knocked it down. A three ball for Curry. Comes back up the floor, celebrating a little bit. Trying to get the crowd fired up. Willie Green has to call a timeout. The Golden State Warriors have a 10-point lead.
They rallied from 20 points down. They outscored the Pelicans by 28 in the second half. The Pelicans ran into a buzzsaw by the name of Draymond Green, and we will get to that part coming up. But Steph Curry, a phenomenal performance from him. At one point, he hit multiple triples in a row, a couple of them off turnovers. So it was defense to offense. It was Dre, really, that sparked the defense to the offense. But 39 for Steph, 8 triples, 8 assists, 8 rebounds. And how about Klay Thompson? This is something that I not only will mention to you tonight, but I am going to hammer this point home. In fact, Jay, maybe at some near point in the future, we can go back. I wouldn't expect you to do it tonight, but do you remember when Charles Barkley said Klay Thompson will never be the player that he once was? And Klay heard it, or someone told him about it, and he got to his press conference that night following a game, and he was hurt. He expressed that he was really disappointed and hurt by what Barkley had said, because he had spent 2 years rehabbing from devastating injuries to come back middle of the third season, right? So he'd been out 2.5 years. Of course, it took him some time. Of course, the fact that he even returned to the court after 2.5 years was amazing. Now here we are. Okay, so this was earlier this season. Now here we are in late March. Did you know that Klay Thompson leads the entire bleeping NBA in threes made? Tell me again how Klay Thompson will never be the player he once was. Did you know the other night when the Warriors were playing it's going to drive me crazy. I'll remember. It was Saturday. He picks up the best player on the other team. He is still the best two-way player that the Warriors have after 2.5 years away. And I am so happy for him. I was happy when he returned last year. It was one of my favorite things about the NBA season. Thrilled when they won the championship, because Klay, all the emotions just came pouring out of him. He couldn't stop the tears at any point. So Klay, with 5 more triples in tonight's game, leads the entire league in three-pointers made. That includes Steph Curry, who makes them at some alarming rate, it feels like. No, it's Klay with 278 triples. The Splash Brothers are back. It's a thing again.
I'm human, so when I don't make shots, it can affect my mood.
I love that. I do actually believe that that is the case. He is all about basketball, and he's got back what he loves. He worked so hard, 2.5 years of literal blood, sweat, tears, heartache. We would see him on the sidelines. We'll see him on the bench, behind the Warriors bench. And he was trying to be happy for his teammates. It's not that he wasn't thrilled with their successes, but it hurt him because he could not be part of it. And I understand that, because I have a couple of things in my life that I'm so passionate about. One of them is play-by-play. And when I'm not doing it, I lost my gig during the pandemic and have not been able to get back to it. When I'm not doing it, it hurts me. It literally hurts me. I try so hard to be excited about, you know, college basketball and listening on the radio or watching on TV, but it hurts me that I'm not a part of it. So I understand what Klay is talking about. Basketball is part of his soul. It's why he's on this planet, at least for this point in his life. He's created for such a time as this. And he gave everything he had to be able to get back to basketball. And now, after essentially 3 years of working at it, he has turned into, I would say, a wiser player, a smarter player, a more clever basketball player. The shot is back and the joy is back. And I know that's my Klay Thompson soapbox, but I'm so happy for him. All right, coming up, we're going to hear the turning point for these Golden State Warriors, the spark. His name is Dre. You may think Draymond Green is an annoyance, and I understand that. It's the kind of player that you want on your team, but you can't stand to face him. We've all either played with an athlete like that or against an athlete like that. That's Draymond Green. And yet he is the heart and soul of the Warriors. Not their best offensive player, definitely their anchor on defense, but he's their heart and soul. Anything they do that's positive starts with Draymond Green. Except for those games when he's suspended because he has too many technical fouls. Anyway, we'll get to that coming up.
You're a clown.
You're definitely a clown. Coming up, Ask Amy Anything, middle part of the show, middle show of the week. It's our hump show. So on Twitter, After Hours CBS, as well as our Facebook page, you can send your questions. Glad to have you with us. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After...
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, code PODCAST.
Hours Podcast.
Yep. There it is. Yep. The way they're calling it, it was upgraded to a flagrant one. Draymond applauds at Malloy. He's very close to getting kicked out here.
Yeah.
They're going to shoot two and get the ball. Nothing for Ingram for the shove. Nothing for Ingram for the two-hand shove on Draymond. After the whistle had blown. Nothing for that. That's not fair. Sorry. DiVincenzo drives. Throws over to Draymond. He'll drive in hard. Goes up. It's an offensive foul on Draymond. And now Herbert Jones gets involved with Draymond because he stepped on him. And now Ingram wants a piece of somebody. I just don't agree with the offensive foul part of it. And these two teams are in a real heated state right now.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Draymond Green's always in the middle of everything, and it's cool. He doesn't mind the technical fouls. His team apparently does not mind that he's picked up so many that he is now headed for another suspension unless this latest one is rescinded. That is the call on Warriors Radio. So there are a couple of different incidents with him on Tuesday against the Pelicans where he gets in a scuffle with Brandon Ingram. Looks like he kind of lowers his shoulder and does a hard foul. And then Ingram comes after Dre, gets in his face, the two exchange words, they're shoving back and forth. So they're called for a double technical. And then as you heard with, I guess it was the referee there, but it was on Warriors Radio. That technical gets upgraded to a flagrant foul one because of a shove. And I was actually watching this on TV. Draymond goes ballistic because he can't believe. Are you kidding me? What? How? And so he's yelling at pretty much everybody who will listen, including his own bench. I mean, he's just fired up. But that really did create a spark. So then Draymond is going for a layup and he collides with Herbert Jones. Jones hits the deck. Dre kind of comes down on top of him, but then Jones has him around the legs. And so they're tangled up, but they're purposely tangled up. And so there's more shoving. No tees were assessed there, but Dre is always in the thick of these types of scrambles. He's like a magnet. They can only happen when he is in the middle of them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we're going to let you hear from Steve Kerr, Kevon Looney, and then Draymond himself. I think a little bit of Steph Curry as well. Because you really have to understand that these Warriors value his intensity and his spirit and his heart, even if it costs them a game or two because he's got the extra technical fouls.
Draymond willed us to victory tonight. I mean, just his intensity, his frustration early with the way we were playing, mad at the world, yelling at everybody, their bench, our bench, me. And frankly, we all deserved it. You know, like that first half was as poor a half as we've played all year, and we weren't engaged. But that's what makes Draymond special. It's not just the amazing basketball IQ and defense and playmaking, but it's just his sheer will. And he was the key tonight.
We used to seeing Draymond do this, and we know when he does this, it's time to go. Like, we got to respond. And I think
it made everybody's attendance go up and made us focus more. I think once all that stuff happened, we got more locked in. We didn't turn the ball over as much. Oh, we brought more physicality on defensive end, and it made it seem like a playoff game. You know, sometimes you get used to just playing every other day, and you forget that all these games are important. And once he brought the energy, it felt like a playoff game.
It just brings out that competitive fire that we have demonstrated for the decade now, and just understanding what it takes to will yourself out of a tough situation. I think I heard him say not a lot of people can talk when they're down 20, but it's built off of a belief and an understanding of who we are at our best, and that kind of just competitive will that we've had. We've been in a lot of different situations over the course of these years, and for whatever reason, no matter how bad we've played, and how inconsistent we've been, we can pull off a night like tonight. So he's well aware of that, and has a feel for, when it was a little sleepy in the first half, he got us going.
The comment that Steph Curry refers to actually was from the on-court interview with Dre and TNT, which I'm pretty sure that, Jay, you grabbed that, right? So if you want to go to the Draymond Green on TNT following this win, you hear Steph say, not many guys talk when they're down 20. Well, that's the point that Green was making. Oh, it's not that one? Okay, it's actually on Twitter if you want to grab it. Well, we can play it at some other point. But the idea is that Dre is so confident and he's so in your face and he understands when it's required that he has to bring the emotion and the intensity to spark his team. And it was such an abysmal first half for them. It was so undisciplined, and they get like this, though not generally at home, but they get like this where they play fast and loose with the basketball and they really don't have much of a sense of urgency. And so it took Dre being not just the floor general, but being really emotional to get that fire lit under these Warriors.
We started playing with some heart and intensity. That first quarter and a half, they punked us. And we were down 20. It takes a real one to talk when you're down 20. And I was able to get my guys going, and then they started doing what they do, and I can do what I do.
It takes a real one to talk when you're down 20. I get that he's an acquired taste, but if you understand his role and the fact that he does everything for this team, it starts with him. Even if he annoys you, you have to appreciate what he's meant to this team. Jay tells me he's got something else from Dre. This is also on court.
It's a good hard foul, and CJ start talking. Don't start talking, play the game. And just enjoy what y'all were doing. They were playing a good game, and he started talking. And that's my type of game. I like that. That's what I do. I grew up in Saginaw, Michigan. That's how we play. And so once they wanted to go there, I enjoyed that.
So in other words, Pelicans, especially you, B.I., he calls him, you played right into our hands. CJ, referring to CJ McCollum, I'm assuming, right into our hands, right? Like you just set me up. In fact, it was like the spider to the fly, come into my web. And after that, Draymond was in his element. So one more, and this is cute. This is actually post-game. So this is who Draymond is, right? Like this is him at work. It's not like he's the same guy all the time. He's sitting at the post-game press conference. There's a table, and his daughter is, I mean, she is off the charts adorable. Big old head of curls, but also the Draymond smile. It like takes up her whole face. And she, of course, wants to talk to her daddy, and she wants to make faces at her daddy. And so he's trying to play daddy while he's also answering questions. And I know not everyone loves having kids at the post-game presser. I certainly understand that. It's a place of business, but I enjoy it because I love kiddos. Jay retweeted it from our show account, After Hours CBS, so you can see the faces that he makes at his daughter. But he actually pauses in the middle of the answer so that he can engage with her.
We were just kind of flat, no energy, kind of letting those guys get wherever they wanted to go. See? Letting those guys get wherever they wanted to go. Hold on, baby. And so I just wanted to get us fired up. And once the foul happened, they started talking like, it's a hard foul, but it's not dirty. He didn't jump or anything. I caught him on the floor. I hit him with a shoulder. So once they started talking, then they gave me an in to kind of get us fired up, and I used that, and we got going.
Yeah, like I said, spider to the fly, welcome to my web. It's fun in here. You think you might be able to escape, but you're playing right into a trap. Yeah, definitely check out Dre's daughter. She just wanted her daddy to make faces at her. I mean,
see? Letting those guys get wherever they want to go.
What daughter doesn't want to make faces with her dad? It was super cute. Marco, do you make faces with your daughter if she needs you to stick out your tongue and go,
yeah.
Yeah, see?
That's a constant.
So you can appreciate that.
Yeah.
He's balancing
both. Yeah, I got a problem
with that. Yeah, he's balancing both.
I've always said, with Draymond Green, just in general, he's the guy that you love when he's on your team.
Exactly.
And you hate him like hell.
I just said that 10 minutes ago. Yes.
You can't stand him when he's somewhere else. But if he's yours, you love him.
Yes, absolutely. And I know, again, you want to hate him, except that this is who he is. It's who he's chosen to be. He doesn't care about being hated. He's a tremendous basketball player, certainly a defender. But to see him with his daughter, I don't know how you can think this guy's a jerk or whatever. I mean, anyway, super cute. He's a girl dad, so I can appreciate that. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, to see that little video exchange with his daughter. I mean, seriously, the dimples that girl has on her. And then you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Coming up top of the hour, Matt Snyder will join us from the West Coast Pacific time zone to talk a little baseball as opening day is mere hours away. Roger Goodell from the winter meetings. Oh, it's like winter meetings number one. Then there's going to be winter meetings number two and like number three. Maybe these are winter meetings number three. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. I might have said that already.
You are listening to the After.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
After Hours Podcast.
We got out of the off season or after the season, and we had a good conversation, and then we're going to have some follow-up conversations. And our inability to reach him or for him to respond in any way, I think at that point, then we just kind of had to do my job and kind of reach out and understanding that a trade could be possible and see who was interested, but that shopping was never really part of that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst, who made a lot of waves, a lot of headlines on Monday at the NFL owners meetings in Arizona when he revealed what we will call his side of the story in this Aaron Rodgers divorce.
How could you possibly say that?
I'm offended. I'm offended. Yeah, I mean, definitely offended now. What Brian told us is that they were waiting on Aaron. They wanted to have some conversations. They reached out to him multiple times, like repeatedly. This is according to Brian. I'm not telling you I believe Brian over Aaron, only that they said they reached out to him multiple times. No success. He did not return calls. He did not return text messages. Finally, they reached out to his reps. And what they heard from his reps is Aaron intends to play for the Jets, or Aaron would like to play for the Jets. Now, somewhere in that equation, they had to have heard from his reps, if not Aaron directly, because somebody had to ask or grant, I should say, permission for Aaron to meet with the Jets. Now, I suppose the request could have come from the Jets, or like, hey, we'd like to meet with Aaron Rodgers. And in that case, Gutekunst, Mark Murphy, the Packers would never have heard from Rodgers or his camp specifically. Maybe they just heard the request from the New York Jets and obviously would have been following the flight plan that was out there on Twitter when the Jets flew cross country to meet with Rodgers in California. So I suppose that you could believe Brian's version of the story, that the next they heard from Aaron's camp is, hey, he wants to go play for the Jets. What Aaron said is that he came out of the darkness completely oblivious, thinking that he had an agreement with the Packers, that they would wait on him. And then lo and behold, according to his phone, that's what he said, it was clear something had changed and the Packers were ready to move on. Does it really matter? Ultimately, we know the Packers wanted to move on. We know Aaron Rodgers was not going to make it easy for them. Unless he retired, there was going to be no clean break. And you can believe him that he was 90% retired when he went into the darkness. Honestly, I feel like that's for dramatic effect. I do not believe, call me a hater if you want. I do not believe that Aaron Rodgers was 90% retired when he went into the darkness. I just don't believe it. The chip on his shoulder, humongous.
I don't think so.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The deal has not yet been consummated. However, Matt LaFleur, everybody associated with the Packers, already talking as though Aaron Rodgers is gone. He gone!
I've got nothing but love and appreciation for what Aaron has done for so many in our organization. Obviously, have experienced a lot of great times together, won a lot of football games together. Ultimately, did bring home a Super Bowl, which will always be disappointing. But he's done so much for myself, my family, our coaches' families, so many people within the organization, other players. A lot of people have been rewarded, quite frankly, because of his ability to go out there and play at such a high level. So, I'm just going to kind of leave it at that.
Now, there was a Bright reporter, and I do mean that because I think this is an important question. While I do think it's unlikely, there still exists the possibility that Aaron Rodgers will not get traded to the Jets. Until it's a done deal, it's not a done deal. So a reporter speaks up and asks Matt LaFleur whether or not they'll be able to patch things up. All right, so would you want Aaron Rodgers back? What if the trade doesn't get done?
That's all between Joe and Goody. I'm gonna leave that one to them, and we'll coach whoever's on our roster, and we're gonna coach them as
Johnny
the best
Manziel
of our ability, and always Baker gonna Mayfield. Put the best players out there that are gonna give us an opportunity to go win football games.
In other words, he threw his hands up in the air. Not me. Not here. I got nothing. This is not my. That's not my department. It's funny when people come to me and they get mad, like say I got the name of a movie wrong or I forgot an actor on a TV show or I can't identify a particular piece of music. People get so mad at me. That's not my department. I do sports for a living. If I get a piece of music wrong, well, who cares?
Okay.
So Matt LaFleur is saying that is not my department. Hands off. Look, Ma, no hands. That is not my department. But what about Jordan Love? Certainly he can talk about Jordan because Jordan is the heir apparent. After back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Green Bay, here comes the love.
We're excited about Jordan and what he's been able to, how he's been able to progress as a quarterback, how he's matured as a man. It's going to be a different role for him, certainly, and I think we all have to kind of temper our expectations for him. It's different when you're going into a game versus when you're starting a game. And it's going to be a process, but it's going to be, it's going to be exciting for him, for us. And, I don't think any quarterback can truly do it on their own in this league. So it's going to be everybody rallying around him and trying to play at their best of their ability so that he can go out there and perform as good as he possibly can.
We know that there are a lot of players on the Packers roster, so actual teammates of Jordan Love's, who are very high on him. Aaron Jones is one that I heard from, was that Super Bowl week where he was raving about Jordan Love? I remember hearing from him. And maybe they feel like they have to say that because they could see the writing on the wall. But you could always refrain, like Andy Reid. Wait, Jordan? Well, from what I remember, from what I remember about him, he played really well. I'm sorry, who? The Love Shack? What are you saying? Do they have burgers there? Yeah, I mean, if Andy Reid apparently didn't think much of Jordan Love, or he would have remembered him. But his teammates have played with him, some of these guys on the offensive side of the ball, for 3 years now. And they know what he's capable of, at least the potential. Now, he's got to be able to get out there and do it on the field. And that's different, right? Even though he's not a rookie, there needs to be some level of grace and a learning curve for Aaron, or for Jordan, because I'm going to do that multiple times, I bet, because he's not had a ton of in-game reps. Game here, game there, where Aaron Rodgers has missed or where he's left the game early, but really not any super critical reps. So what about Jordan's mindset? Because it's been like this now for 3 years behind Aaron.
I think he just wanted to know what was going on. And, you know, for a long period of time, I couldn't even tell him because I didn't quite know where it was headed. And, you know, it just... I think there's obviously some clarity to it, but, you know, nothing's final yet.
So that is Matt LaFleur in Arizona. I think the meetings are done after 2 days. I think that was it. It was just a quick, it was a quickie. It was a hola, ¿cómo está? And everybody gets microphones in front of their faces. I don't know if it's mandated. I believe it might be that the AFC coaches breakfast and the NFC coaches breakfast are mandated. And these coaches have to show up so that they're in front of cameras. And of course, where the coaches go, the microphones will go. I'm telling you, the NFL is brilliant. As if we couldn't go another month or so without hearing from the coaches, because the draft is a month, right? We got to hear from them again. We just heard from them at the combine. This is a relatively new thing. I mean, producer Jay and I have worked together now almost two years. And it's a new thing that these coaches and general managers not only speak at the combine, and they've become the bigger story instead of the actual prospects, and now again at the winter league meetings. The NFL, they're encroaching. All right, we're going baseball next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.